Well, thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Got a partly cloudy day outside and it's warm. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, I thank you for these wonderful times you've got us in, Lord. These trials that you have us in, Lord, that help us to grow up, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that everything that happens to us is for a reason. And we just praise you and glorify you, and we thank you for them. And Father, I thank you for the great faith and bold faith you placed in your people, that it's going to be awesome, Lord. And I thank you for your anointing today to get this message across about how faith comes. And we praise you, glorify you, and thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Well, that's what I want to talk about today, folks. You know, faith, when you understand how it comes, how faith comes, and then acting on our faith and receiving from God, it becomes simple when you understand it. God actually made faith easy to understand. And all the answers are right there in the Word. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now I want you to notice particularly the first part of that verse. But without faith it is impossible to please him. So that's telling us if God demands that we have faith when it's impossible for us to have faith, then we've got a right to challenge his justice, don't we? But if he places within our hands the means whereby faith can be produced, then the responsibility rests on us as to whether or not we got the faith, right? God's told us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he's also told us how to obtain that faith. He's told us how that faith comes in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't have faith, it's not God's fault. And to blame God for our lack of faith ain't nothing but ignorance. God has provided the way whereby everyone can have faith. The Apostle Paul said that we're supposed to have faith in Ephesians 2:8. But how do you get the faith to be saved? Well, faith for salvation, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 verses 8 through 10 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, let's go to 13 and 14. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we see here that faith for salvation comes by hearing the word of God. Now, let's relate that over with Acts chapter 11, 13 and 14, that says, "And he showed us how he," that was Cornelius, "had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." It says Cornelius was a good man, but he wasn't saved yet. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16 and 15. But Cornelius hadn't heard the gospel yet, and he wasn't saved. So God told Cornelius to send for Peter in order to learn what the plan of salvation was. Now that angel couldn't preach to Cornelius. They're not supposed to preach. God sent men to preach. But the angel could tell Cornelius where to go get that somebody. He found out that who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved by Peter. So how does faith for healing come? It comes in the same way that faith for salvation comes, by hearing and believing God's word. Acts 14:7-10. And there they, Paul and Barnabas, preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And what happened? He leaped and walked. Well, somebody that just reading the word like a newspaper might say, "Well, it's wonderful that old Paul healed that man." Paul didn't heal that man. The man was not healed because Paul was an apostle, nor was he healed by Paul's faith. The man himself had faith. All Paul did was three things. He preached the gospel. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And he told the man to stand up and walk. Now, the man himself, he did three things also. He heard Paul preach. He had faith to be healed. And he leaped up and walked. And it wasn't that he was healed by some power that Paul possessed. The man himself had faith to be healed. Now, how did he get that faith? Well, he got it from what he heard. He heard Paul speak. And Paul spoke the gospel. He preached the gospel to him. He told him the good news, right? That crippled man at Lystra had faith to be healed himself. In Mark 5 and verse 34, Jesus said to the woman that had just been healed of the issue of blood, here's what he told her. He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Faith has not been done away with, folks. It still comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus didn't say that it was his power that made the woman whole. He said that her faith did it. How'd the man at Lystra get faith to be healed? From what he heard. And what he heard was the word of God. Is there something about the gospel that would cause a lifelong cripple to be healed? Well, yeah. Paul preached the gospel of salvation and of healing, stating, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, that word salvation in the Hebrew and the Greek, it has the same idea for deliverance as it does for safety, preservation, healing, and soundness, and protection, and all of those things. Paul was saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto deliverance. It is the power of God unto protection. It is the power of God unto preservation. It is the power of God unto healing and soundness." Paul preached the whole gospel, the full gospel, not just a little bit of it. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." You know, the great miracles that are recorded in that above verses came about as the result of Philip's preaching Christ. The New Testament knows no Christ without Christ the healer, you understand. Physical healing is part of the gospel. If there's no gospel of healing today, then neither is there a gospel of salvation. That's just the way it is. A key verse in the study of faith is the one that's familiar, found in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now Moffat's translation of this verse reads, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we don't see. And another translation said, faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Still another translation reads, faith is a warranty deed. The thing for which we have finally hoped is at last ours. So here God's telling us what faith is. Now there's a number of kinds of faith. Everyone, saved and unsaved alike, has a natural human faith. The above scripture, however, is talking about a supernatural faith. A faith that believes with the heart rather than believing what our physical senses tell us. Faith, in other words, is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. And faith grows out of the Word of God. The text describes faith as the evidence of things not seen. For example, you hope for finances to meet all the obligations that you have to pay every month. Faith gives the assurance that you're going to have the money when you need it. You hope for physical strength to do the work that you must do. Faith says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 47:1. Faith will say about itself everything that the Word says. For faith in God is simply faith in His Word. John Wesley once said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith, one that looks and sounds so much like faith that few people can tell the difference. This substitute he called mental assent. Many people read God's Word. They agree that it's true, but they're only agreeing with their minds. And that's not what gets the job done. It's the heart faith that receives from God. Mark 11:23-24 says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. So how can we tell whether we have this heart faith or we're just mentally agreeing? Mental assent says, I know God's word's true. I know God has promised healing, but for some reason I can't get it. I can't understand it. But real faith in God's word says, if God's word says it's so, then it's so. It's mine. I've got it now. Faith says I have it. Even though I can't see it, I believe I got it. Then I've heard people say, but the things that I've been praying for hadn't come to pass yet. Well, if you already have it, you wouldn't have to believe it, for then you'd know it. So you have to take that step of believing in order to come to the place of knowing. There's too many people out there that want to know it from the standpoint of it's coming to pass and then believe it. We got to believe it because God's word says it's ours. Then is when it materializes. Then is when it manifests. And if you'll notice from the verse that I quoted above, that the receiving comes after the believing. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Jesus was simply saying, you gotta believe you got it or have it before you can receive it. First speaking for myself, I've never been able to receive physical healing for myself without first believing that I had it, while every symptom in my body was crying out, "You ain't got it, boy." But I just simply stand firm on what God's word says about my healing and continue to claim that I'm healed. It don't make any difference how I feel. It don't make any difference what my eyes is looking at, because I know the results are forthcoming. But if I were to sit around, groan and sigh and gripe and complain, waiting until every symptom is gone and my feelings correspond with my faith before I will believe, I ain't going to get very far. For faith is the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Now, let's look at Abraham's faith versus Thomas's faith. Too many Christians out there has got Thomas's faith, when they ought to have Abraham's faith. Thomas said, "I ain't going to believe till I can see him." Whereas Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith. John 20, verses 24 through 29 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said therefore unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed.'" Why did Thomas find it hard to believe that Jesus was alive? Well, Thomas had to see the nails pierce Jesus' hands, and he had to see the spear thrust that was into his side. He'd seen those, and his physical senses told him that Jesus was dead. He had that head knowledge, didn't he? But he didn't have heart knowledge. Romans chapter 4, 17 through 21. "As it is written, I have made thee, Abraham, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." And if you'll notice the difference in Thomas's faith and Abraham's faith, Thomas had only a natural human faith that said, "I ain't going to believe unless I can see and feel them holes." Abraham, he believed God's word, and he considered not his own body, his own natural senses. And if Abraham didn't consider physical knowledge or feelings, what did he consider then? He considered what the Word of God said, what the Word of God told him. Real faith is built on the Word. And we ought to meditate on the Word, dig deep into it, and feed on it. And then the Word becomes a part of us, just as natural food becomes a part of our physical body when we eat. What natural food is to the physical man, the Word of God is to the spiritual man. The Word builds into us confidence and assurance. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "And now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." That's in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. Now, he wasn't inferring that hope and faith are not important. Each got its place, and you can't substitute one for another. We can't substitute love for hope. Neither can we substitute hope for faith. But there's a lot of people out there that try to receive things from God on the basis of hope rather than faith. Hope looks to the future. It's always future tense. But faith is now. Faith says, "I receive my answer right now. I have it right now." And it's not hoping that gets the job done. It's believing. Somebody might say, "Well, I believe I'll receive my healing sometime." Folks, that's not faith. That's hope. Because it's looking to some indefinite future time. Faith says, "I received my healing right now. In fact, it was given to me at the cross." In a modern translation of a New Testament, that verse in Hebrews 11 and 1 reads, "Faith is giving substance to things hoped for." If you need healing, you don't want it sometime in the future. You want it right now, especially if you're in pain. And if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you want to receive it now, not sometime down the road. If you need salvation, you can't put it off to the future because it might be too late if you do that. You know, I've talked to people who told me that they had hope to be saved, but some of them are dead. They left the world unsaved because salvation is based on hope. It never comes to fruition. It's always sometime in the future, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So those verses that I just read point man to the plan of salvation. So we see that it's by faith, not hope, that we're saved. Jesus promised that he'll not cast any out who come to him, but will save all who call upon the name of the Lord. Therefore, we don't need to hope that he'll save us. He said he would. All we got to do is act on that faith, right? Faith, as you know, grows out of the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Romans 10, 17. Faith is the warranty deed that the thing for which you have fondly hoped is at last yours, is another version of that same verse. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, as we read in Hebrews 11 and 1. And to illustrate that, you might hope for finances to meet some obligation that you have, but faith gives you the assurance that you're going to have the money when you need it. You might hope for physical strength to do a job that you got to do, but faith says the Lord is the strength of my life in Psalms 27 and 1. In other words, faith says the same thing that the Word of God says. Unbelief is taking sides against God's Word. And there are those who talk unbelief and they take sides against the Word of God and then wonder why God's Word don't work for them. And if you want God's Word to work for you, you got to side in with it. Okay? Sometimes when I ask folks to come for prayer, if they believe that they'll be healed right then, sometimes they say, "Well, I hope I will." And I tell them, I said, "That won't do it, for we receive from God by faith, not through hope." And then there's some others that say, "Well, I want to." Well, you might want a new Cadillac, but that don't mean you're going to get it. Just wanting to won't get the job done, folks. It's not hoping and it's not wanting. It's faith that gets the job done. You're not going to receive from God because you hope, okay? Nowhere does the Bible say that when we pray we shall receive what we hope for. God's word says, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Jesus said, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. Not hoping, but believing. Now, if you'll notice the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. That the verb used is present tense. If it's not now, folks, it's not faith. Faith is present tense. Hope is future tense. You know, even though you might say that you believe, if you're putting it into the future, then you're not believing, you're hoping. So in order for it to work, it's got to be in the right tense. Actually, it should be in the past tense because Christ took care of it back at the cross, right? Some people are always believing that God is going to do something for them, but faith believes that he's already done it. Okay? Hope, of course, used properly, is one of the most blessed and beautiful words. We have a blessed hope that someday soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for us. The resurrection of the righteous dead and the rapture of the living saints. The hope of heaven. The hope of seeing our loved ones and friends. Okay? And we thank God for that hope. But that's all future tense stuff. Jesus is coming back in his man-child ministry. Whether we believe it or not, he's coming. Praise God. Because the word says so. The resurrection ain't going is when it takes place at the end, it's going to take place at the end, whether we have faith or not. That's going to happen. The dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air at the end, whether we believe it or not, because the word says it. And our faith or lack of faith ain't going to affect those events one bit. Jesus is coming back because the word says that he's going to. And that's what we're looking forward to. But it's faith, not hope, that can change the impossible to the possible. It's faith, not hope, that brings healing and victory. Hope is a good waiter, but a poor receiver. That's too many times I've heard folks out there say, I'm hoping and praying. Or all we can do now is hope and pray. Well, if that's all you're doing, you're defeated. It takes positive faith. It takes a right now faith to get positive results, okay? You have to have a positive attitude. Forget in the future, it's going to happen right now. Faith is not something which we have as much as it is something we do, okay? We have seen that faith is not hoping that we will see the answer in the future. Faith is believing that we got the answer right now. The eyes of faith see the answer as having already happened. Okay? Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, that's God's words, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So if you'll notice, those verses right there, it says, let them, that's God's word, not depart from thine eyes. There's a lot of folks out there fail because they see themselves as failing. If they're sick, they think of themselves as dying. God said himself, that's Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses in Matthew 8:17. And if that word doesn't depart from your eyes, and you're bound to see yourself without sickness and without disease. Just imagine it in your mind. You're going to see yourself as well. If, however, you don't see yourself as without sickness, then that word has departed from before your eyes. And even though he wants to make health a reality for your life, He can't, because you're not acting on His word. And if you'll notice over in Proverbs 20 and 22, for they, God's word, are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Now that Hebrew word translated health here is also the word for medicine. In other words, my words are medicine to all their flesh. Praise God. The first two verses of that passage tell us the directions for taking that medicine. What's those directions? It says, attend to or study God's word and obey His word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So there it is. You got the antidote and you got the directions to take the antidote. What's God's medicine? He said, my words are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. But the medicine has to be taken according to directions in order for it to work. And you know what those directions are? Let them, my words, not depart from before thine eye. So you need to keep looking at what the Word of God says. There's too many people out there praying and praying, but they never see themselves with the answer. They just see everything getting worse. They keep looking at the wrong thing, at the symptoms. They keep looking at the conditions. They keep looking at themselves. And so they walk around in unbelief, and they destroy the effects of their praying. Get your mind on the answer. See yourself as having received, constantly affirmed, even in the face of contradictory evidence, confirming that God has heard your prayer because the Word says so. That's when you'll get results, folks. That's acting on faith, by the way. You have to believe that you've got it before you receive it. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. The believing comes before the receiving. There are those that say, I ain't going to believe anything that I can't see. But in the natural, we believe a lot of things that you can't see. The whole world, listen to this, the whole world became alarmed when that atomic bombs were being exploded back in the 50s and 60s and even today. And they released radioactive material into the atmosphere. Now you can't see it and you can't feel it, but it is a destructive power nevertheless. So real faith in the Word says that if God says it's so, then it's so. And if He says that by whose stripes you were healed, in 1 Peter 2:24, then we're healed. If He says that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19, then He does it. If the Word says the Lord is the strength of my life in Psalms 27:1, then He is. In other words, real faith in God simply says about oneself what the Word says. We have what the Word says we have. We are what the Word says we are. If God says we're strong, then guess what? We're strong. If He says we're healed, then guess what? We're healed. And if He says He cares for me, then guess what? He does. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Because Jesus is our high priest, and He sits at the right hand of God in heaven, and He makes intercession for us. That's why we can have the answers to our petitions right now. And when you look up the Greek word that's translated profession, it ought to read, let us hold fast to saying the same thing. Okay? Jesus is in heaven. He's representing us at the throne of God. He's saying, I took their place. I died for them as their substitute. He didn't die for Himself. He didn't need to be redeemed because He wasn't lost. He died for us. He became our substitute. He took our sins and He bare our sicknesses and carried our diseases. He died for us. And He rose from the dead for us, and He ascended on high for us. And he's up there right now saying, I did that for them. And you know what? We're supposed to hold fast to saying the same things down here. Mark 11:23 again. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. It doesn't say, if this person or that person. It says whosoever. That means anybody. Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. And that's not just a matter of faith, going out of your heart toward God without you saying anything. That ain't going to work. You got to confess it. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that we can just sit there and believe without confessing it. Faith kept only in your heart ain't never going to bring healing to your body, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or an answer to any kind of prayer. But faith in your heart, released through your lips, is going to bring results every time. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see examples of how God's people, by putting their faith into action, were able to accomplish many mighty deeds. Great miracles were wrought by humble men who, in simple believing faith, acted upon God's word. Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all the men of war, going about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of that city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. In verse 2, we read that God told Joshua that he had given the city of Jericho into thy hand. That didn't mean that Joshua and the children of Israel could sit back and relax while the city automatically became theirs. They had to do something. God gave them explicit instructions how to go about possessing the land that he had already given to them. God told them exactly what to do. But you know what? They had to believe that word and act on it. And their acting upon the word was their faith in action. They were to march around the walls of the city once a day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, they were to march around the city 7 times. Then, when the musical instruments sounded, they were to shout. Notice that they shouted while the walls were still up. Anybody can shout when the walls are already down. It don't take no faith to do that, but they acted their faith. They shouted with a great shout, and then the walls fell down. Can you imagine a general of an army sending ahead the choir to sing, to shout, and to play instruments before the enemy? They did. And look what happened. Too many people are sitting back waiting for something to come to them. They just lie more or less inert without a passive faith instead of an active faith, waiting for something to happen. We've all got certain obligations and can't just stay at home and expect something to come to us. But you know, if we pray and we believe and then act on that faith, something's going to happen. Faith in action in the New Testament. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, and then 24 and 25. And behold, men bring on a bed a man that was palsied. They sought to bring him in and to lay him before him. And not finding by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop. And they let him down through the tiles with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then verse 24 and 25, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sin, he said unto him that was palsied, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go unto thy house. And immediately he rose up before him, took up that wherein he lay, and departed to his house, glorifying God. Amen. You better glorify God. He's the one that did it. While Jesus was in a house teaching here, those men brought their friend in. They brought him in to Jesus. They knew if Jesus could get to him, he's going to be healed. That man had palsy, and he was bedfast. He couldn't get out of bed. And the crowd was large. It was jam-packed. It was elbow to elbow in there. And they couldn't get that poor man in there. But rather than give up defeated, they were determined to find a way to get their friend to Jesus. They persevered, okay? They climbed onto the roof, and through an opening in the roof, they lowered that bedfast man into the room right there before the Lord. By whose faith was this miracle brought about? It was the man on the cot. Was it the man on the cot, or was it the friends that brought him to the Lord? The word says, and when he saw their faith, that word is plural, their faith, it was the faith of every one of them. You know, it would have been real easy for those guys, those friends, when they saw that great bunch of folks around Jesus, to just shrug their shoulders and say, hey, bud, you just need to give that up. Go on back home. We tried. We did the best we could. We just couldn't get out. We just couldn't get to him. But you know what? They didn't give up. They found a way to get to Jesus. They found a way to get their friend to Jesus, and God showed them that their faith healed him. And that sick man demonstrated great faith too. How many of y'all would allow them to take you up on the top of the roof and down through the roof? You know, and when Jesus told him to rise up and walk, he didn't hesitate. He wasn't no better. He just lay there. He didn't lay there. He was just as helpless then as he was before. And he could have said, rise up and walk. What you talking about? Can't you see men carrying me in here? I can't get up. But no, when Jesus told him to rise, he began to move. And when he did, healing was the result. If he had refused to act on the word of the master, he would have never been healed. But because he acted, he received. He acted on what the Lord told him. I've seen people do the same thing, be bedfast, and then rise up because they had the faith to believe that God was healing them. You know, a formula for faith is to find a promise in God's word for whatever you're seeking, and then believe God's word, and then don't consider contradictory circumstances, and then praise God for the answer. You know, old Smith Wigglesworth, he once said, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with Him through the Word. Too many people try to get acquainted with God through their personal feeling. And when they feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. And if they don't feel particularly good, they think he hadn't heard them. Their faith is based on their feelings, whereas it should be based on God's word. Amen to that, Brother Smith. Amen. A Thomas's faith. Well, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And old Thomas, you know the answers to that. Thomas was one who based his faith on his feeling, on what his physical senses told him. He wanted to see where the nails went through Jesus' hand and touch him with his own hands. He relied on what he could only see and touch, not on what God had to say. And there's a whole lot of Thomas Christians out there today. Those who believe only what they feel, believe only what they can see, believe only what they can hear or touch. But I'm telling you, real faith in God is based upon the Word of God. Real faith in the Word says if God says it's true, then it's true. Believing God is believing the Word. If God's Word says He bears me or hears me, then I know He hears me because He says so. And His Word don't lie. If our faith is based on feelings, then we're just using a natural human faith. We can't get spiritual results with natural human faith. We have to have scriptural faith, Bible faith, believing in God's Word type of faith. If our faith is based upon the Word of God, then we believe the Word regardless of the evidences that would satisfy our physical senses. Now, I want to give you a testimony here about Gary Wood. On December the 23rd in 1966, he was 18 years old. And he was killed in a terrible car accident. His sister prayed for him, and he was raised from the dead after being taken to heaven for 20 minutes. While he was in heaven, the Lord showed him this warehouse full of body parts that people had prayed for but had never endured in faith to the end to receive them. And that's what happens. A lot of people begin in faith, but they don't continue in faith. They become double-minded because they go ahead and they listen to the devil's lies and they lose what they prayed for. Well, as the Lord was guiding him through this warehouse with shelves full of eyes and arms and legs and hearts and all kinds of things, body parts like that, Gary asked, "What is this?" And God told him, he said, "These are all the things that my people prayed for, but didn't endure to the end to faith, in faith to receive." A lot of people start out in faith, but then they put their eyes on the things that are, and they go back to walking by sight. You know, the Lord's got angels out there. They ain't got nothing else to do but look after your need. And you might as well let them go ahead and go to work for you. And if you pray and endure in your faith, they're going to make sure that your prayers are answered, that things happen. The good news is that it's already been done. And that's why it's such good news, because it's already accomplished. You're healed. You're blessed. You're delivered. You don't need to get health. You've already got it, praise God. If it was given to you as a free gift by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and don't let it be for naught. Don't let Jesus suffer for nothing. And if you go back to your own works to try and take care of yourself, what you're saying is, well, he just suffered for nothing in my case. People don't know that it is normal to have a trial of your faith. Now, when things don't happen the way they're believing or as quickly as they're believing, the devil tells them, "You're not doing something right." It ain't got nothing to do with that. You're always not doing something right, bless God. That's always going to be the situation. But that's not the point. That's the devil trying to trick you out of your prayer being answered. In fact, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. For what saith the Scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. You can't be righteous, no matter how hard you try, if you don't believe God. But if you do believe God, He's going to overlook a whole lot of things. In other words, there's an awful lot under the blood, which is what He's getting ready to say. Now, to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. Him that works is a person who is trying to earn what God's given him already freely. You can't do it. You can't be good enough for God to count your righteousness, because if you sin just one time, you're a sinner. You have to be reckoned righteous because of your faith. There ain't no other way. But to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. You see, if you could be good enough, God would owe it to you. But that ain't never going to happen. So the other choice you have is to be accounted righteous by your faith. Okay? Believe God for the very thing that you're in the trial for. Because God puts you in that trial. And He wants to call you righteous because you're believing Him when you don't see what you want. Romans 4:5. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. So, folks, don't try to earn what God wants and desires earnestly to give you freely by grace. And that is his unmerited and unearned favor. Don't try it, because God will not impute righteousness to you for that. Men are so full of self-effort to try and save himself, and that don't please God, because it's not by faith. We have to walk by faith. And the reason God chose faith as a method is so that salvation in any other form wouldn't work. But this form, it would be by grace and not by works. Because what can you do to earn anything from God? He holds all the chips in all the cards, okay? So what can you do for Him? The thing that pleases God the most is to believe Him in the very thing that you need. That's what pleases God. And even as in verse 6 of Romans 4, it says, even as David also pronounceth blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works. In other words, apart from him being perfect, God considers him righteous because he believes. God has really put a high priority on faith. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Boy, that's awesome. That is so awesome. That's what he does for people that believe him. And if you believe him, imperfect as you are, he accepts you as his child. And he's going to give you the grace that you need at that moment. And I'm telling you, if you believe by faith that you're healed, and you keep confessing it with your mouth, it's there. You're going to receive it. Praise God. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next week, God willing.